People Helping People, a program bridging the community with local organizations and nonprofits making a difference in the Bay Area. If you or someone you know would like to get your messages on People Helping People, please email us at contact@poly923fm.com or desipeoplehelpingpeople@gmail.com. Here are your hosts, Larry Walling and Greg Pirillo.
Hello and welcome to another edition of People Helping People. My name is Greg and I have with me my very dear friend and my co-host, Larry.
Good morning, good morning.
How you doing, my friend?
Very well. I was going to ask you the same thing.
We're both wearing black today. You always wear black. I wear it probably 40%, 50% of the time.
Yes, it's my signature.
Yeah, it is your signature.
Man in black.
Yeah, but you're looking great as always. What's new in your world, my friend?
Oh, just nothing really. Just getting ready to wait for the, Super Bowl.
It's today.
Yeah.
So it is waiting.
Yeah. So I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to go, though.
Oh, really? Is that the type of situation it is?
Well, it is, yeah.
Do you, because I tell you.
Trust me, I'm not a big fan. Either.
Everybody, even those who have no interest in the Super Bowl.
I'm one of them.
They watch. You know, they party.
Yeah.
Right. They have good food. It's like you make an excuse sort of just to, what I don't, all right, so I don't like, I like football, but I really don't care about this game, but I like football. I'm a New York Giants fan.
Yeah.
But I'm usually like, so I'm just tired of the Patriots. I'm tired of them being there every year. But it's an excuse to really eat really bad, greasy food and
this
delicious
food. This is why I'm a little excited about it.
Yeah, so that's
the all it is.
So everybody who's like, I know there's several people in this office that just don't have any interest in it, don't even really know anything about football.
Sure.
But they're like, we're going to have a party. You know, they buy a box in the Super Bowl pool, make it a little bit more incentive to watch the game.
Yeah, there you go.
So there's a lot of that. Mm-hmm. But I will say I'm rooting for the Rams, even though I never root for LA teams. I'm rooting for the Rams.
Rams aren't in L.A. anymore, are they?
They are in L.A. Larry, where have you been? They've been back in L.A. for 2 years, and they are L.A. Rams.
Well, that shows you I'm not a football fan.
You clearly are not a football fan.
So where did they go anyway? Was it?
They were in St. Louis for a long time, and now they're back in L.A.
Okay.
And
I used to be a Rams fan.
You know, the San Diego Chargers are now the L.A. Chargers, too. So there's two L.A. teams that weren't there only 2 or 3 years ago.
Wow.
But the Patriots are still in New England, and they still are a team I can never root for, and I refuse to root for them.
I do know it's New England.
So, but I wanted to say this. Let's take football and put it on the back burner for a moment.
Okay.
And never take it off the back
burner. I'm fine with that.
It has been so cold in this country.
Yeah.
I know everybody's been hearing about it. We've been lucky in that, it's rained a lot in the new year, but like we've been lucky it's been at very least in the 50s or 40s, 50s.
Yeah.
We're the only region here and south of us and in very, very mid to southern Florida where it's been over 50 degrees in this country.
Wow. Heat wave.
Everywhere in the country, it is freezing cold. Even in areas like right now in Arizona, Las Vegas, New Mexico, where it's generally kind of warm desert during the day. No, it's like in the 30s.
It's not warm in Vegas in the wintertime.
It's warm. During the day, it's usually in the 50s, 60s, absolutely. And right now, it's like sub-zero. Yeah, it's like 30 degrees.
That's high desert, man. It gets cold in the winter.
At night, not during the day.
Yeah, it does.
I'm just telling you.
What do you know?
I looked at the average temperatures yesterday, and they said that they are 37 degrees below the average daytime temperature.
Huh.
But let's just say this.
Okay.
They said in this parts of this country are colder than anywhere else on the planet, including Antarctica, including the North Pole.
Really?
In this country, Chicago is minus 17 degrees without wind chill, minus 60 something with wind chill, which means you can't even go outside for 2 minutes. You could really, really be in danger to go outside, especially if you have any health issues, if you have a heart problem. If you're susceptible to viruses and your weak immune system, it's awful. We're very fortunate to live where we are. Rain aside, who cares?
Yeah really. Rain's
rain. We can still go outside.
Just get a boat.
Yeah. So we're very fortunate, but it's been a very trying time for the country. It's cold everywhere. We recognize that. And we wish everyone well. And we hope everybody stays safe. Stay inside. This is the time you enjoy what you have in your house. And be thankful you have a roof over your head.
Yeah.
And you hope that your pipes don't freeze, so therefore you have heat. But body warmth is always good, right?
Well, yep, down, yeah.
Get a nice blanket.
Or something else.
Yeah, or a person.
Yeah.
But the key is if you have a fireplace, you jump in front of the fireplace, you read some books. It's cozy. Cozy time, I used to call it when I lived in New Jersey.
I love those kinds of nights. I mean, I used to live in a ski resort.
Right.
I love that.
I always say that. Like, that's the one thing I miss about living in the tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, is when it was a snow day. Because everybody was forced to be home. Yeah. You kind of just bunkered in. You had some soup, watched movies, listened to music, relaxed, talk. That was great for the first time or second time it happened. And then on the sixth, seventh, eighth time, you get so fed up with it.
Yeah, I know.
Because you can't drive anywhere. You're stuck.
Cabin fever, they call it.
Yeah, you put on weight. You eat too much.
Yeah, there you go.
All those things. Yeah, but so anyway, wanted to mention that because it's been a really tough time for the country. But I believe next week we have a very special guest. I don't want to bring it up yet because it's like 88% confirmed. But we're just waiting on final word of our next week's guest. But it will be somebody.
Well, break tradition now.
Right.
You usually do that.
An old guest, somebody who'd been here, a place that has been on the show before will be likely here. And we have a bunch of great guests coming up. I wanted to spend a little time today, Larry. Since we didn't have a guest in studio, I want to talk about a press release earlier in the week from Autism Speaks. You're familiar with them.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
They're the logo is the puzzle piece. Mm-hmm. And let me just say, we're all starting to see the effects of autism and the spectrum more than any other time in our lives, all of us, because every year you see the numbers grow.
Yeah.
I think they've learned so much about autism in this that they could actually say that I think years ago we thought people were slow or developmentally disabled.
Yeah, they didn't have a name for it.
But those people essentially that were categorized as slow or whatever, or maybe a little bit behind, probably were on the spectrum and we didn't know it or we didn't recognize it as such. But I do think there's more and more cases of this than ever before.
Much
for whatever
more.
Reason. It could be cell phones. Well, it could be, we don't know.
A lot of different things. Technology, you know, it's the healthcare. I mean, we're finding things out, different ways of finding things out now, so.
The number is crazy. I was just reading here, estimated 1 in 59 children are on the spectrum, and that's a 15% increase in just 2 years, to give you an idea of how much more it's happening. Yeah. So let me read this, and then we'll talk. I want to talk a little bit about this. The Autism Speaks Walk is in the Bay Area, raising funds and providing resources, which that's what I want to talk about. Children and adults with autism, their families, friends, and colleagues and neighbors are going to join the Bay Area Autism Speaks Walk Sunday, April 14th at 9 a.m. It's going to happen at San Jose State University's practice football field, raising funds to support the mission of Autism Speaks, which is dedicated to promoting solutions for the needs of people with autism across the spectrum and throughout the lifespan. The walk also promotes understanding and acceptance of people with autism, each with different degrees of autism.
Mm-hmm.
It affects each person differently because challenges with social interaction and repetitive behaviors and communication. So there's different ways it could show itself. Some don't speak. Some are incapable of being, able to function in social situations. Some might be really, really smart and super focused and can remember anything about numbers. It just shows itself in different ways.
It does. Yeah.
But the Autism Speak Fund's research leads state and federal advocacy, provides resources for every stage of life, including more than 40 free toolkits covering everyday challenges from early childhood diagnosis to education, employment, and independent living. In 2017 alone, Autism Speaks Helpline responded to 70,000 requests for information, tools, and resources. That's incredible. The sensory-friendly event includes service providers in the area who will have interactive experiences and information about their local services. Participants are encouraged to register in advance, form a walk team, join one, or donate at autismspeakswalk.org. The on-site registration is at 8:30 the day of the event, and the event itself will run from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. So I'm going to just read this little paragraph about autism and then we'll go off and talk a little bit about this because I think it's important. Autism or autism spectrum disorder refers to a broad range of conditions characterized by challenges with social skills, repetitive behaviors, speech, and nonverbal communication. We know that there is not one autism, but many subtypes, and each person with autism can have unique strengths and challenges. Most are caused by a combination of genetic and environmental influences, and many are accompanied by medical issues, such as GI disorders, seizures, and sleep disturbances. So this is really such a simple way of presenting how complicated and layered mm-hmm. autism is. I know many people that are on the spectrum. I both family and non-family and friends, friends of friends, children of friends. It's a scary thing when you're faced with it, but then when you really do get into it, it's just a part of life that you deal with, right?
Yeah,
like anything else.
Mm-hmm.
If you are born without a hand, you learn pretty quickly how to, you don't know any better. This is what you do, you know?
That's what
and it
you
becomes
know.
A part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
The difference with autism is it's not something you can see, right? It's not something that's a physical disability. It's something you can't really, but you almost think everything's fine with this person.
Yes,
they look normal.
Behavioral thing.
So I'm sure it has to have affected you, or if you have to have seen it around your life, I'd assume.
Well, absolutely. Well, I know people just like you. Nobody in my family that I know of.
Right.
But people that I've worked around, especially people that I've worked around, and I can remember one person who was, he was young. He was a young boy. He was probably about 13 or 14. He was the son of a very well-known plastic surgeon in Southern California. Mm. And I did a lot of work at their house. And he was almost, I mean, he was really severe. His case was.
Which way was he? Nonverbal?
Well, he was nonverbal. He was, he wouldn't talk. He wouldn't look at you. He would have, like, he would get angry.
Mm.
I guess out of frustration, but
yeah.
But it was, he was very, he's probably the most severe person I'd ever been around.
Mm.
But yeah, there are many varying degrees on autism. And we actually interviewed somebody at Gemini. Remember that Gemini.org?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And it's a world renowned thing now.
Right.
Where as they deal, she has twins with autism. It's just been like life changing.
Yeah.
So that's great. You know, we made some inroads.
What they've accomplished in a short amount of time is outrageous.
Oh yeah,
definitely. It is how we're able. This state, believe it or not, is way far ahead of the curve in dealing with it.
I think so.
In programs to help them, early detection and they call it early intervention is the best case scenario. So a lot of parents are afraid to recognize it, and I can tell
I
you from firsthand
yeah.
experience.
They are.
I know people who have children that are developmentally delayed, and they basically didn't want to acknowledge what was happening, so they mm-hmm. kind of left it alone until it got to the point where it was like they had no choice. And they say the quicker you can help develop their brain and create, because what it is, it becomes almost like a habit. You almost get them into the habit of doing things,
mm-hmm.
and it helps them function better. And the programs that they're doing in this state are far beyond most of the other states in this country and in really the rest of the world. Our teachers from this state are being sent to other countries to help the teachers there in working with children with autism, because it really is something that you need to constantly monitor what's working and what's not working and what is really having an effect. And what programs are helping the kids. And the earlier you get to it, the more likely they're going to have a normal life. It's just, in a lot of cultures, it's taboo in a way. It's embarrassing. And that really is a sad thing, because by not recognizing it and not doing something about it, really will, in the long run, hurt them so much more than that little bit of, I think it's pride or embarrassment, which is unfortunate, because it's your child. And your child is, whether they're flawed or not, is your child. I don't think there's anything to be embarrassed about. This is the world we live in. And we see it around us all the time. And it's becoming accepted. You're starting to see them. A lot of, even some with very deep challenges, are working jobs.
You're right.
They're finding places. Autism, these places like Autism Speaks, are going to find help that can get them into a situation that works for them and their particular set of challenges and their skills, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, a lot of people believe guys like Einstein were on the spectrum. Some of the smartest people, some of the greatest artists.
I totally believe that.
They just were never diagnosed because it didn't exist at that time, right? We didn't know what it was. Remember the movie Rain Man?
Yeah.
That was a guy who was essentially on the spectrum, but at that time we didn't even really know what it was. That, I mean, the character was, I shouldn't, not that that's a real person, but apparently it was based on a real person. That guy was on the spectrum, you know? It's just that it's, we're now kind of entering a new frontier where we know what we're dealing with, but we're just trying to figure out what's the best way to deal with it and teach. That's why Autism Speaks, one of several I know this Global Autism Project is a big one. These guys are working so hard to help these children and adults too in their everyday lives and giving the parents and teachers the tools they need to help them get there. I just think it's an important conversation, and it's something we should probably this year we'll spend some more time because we've done it in the past.
Yeah, we have, but it, I mean, with special needs, and
it
that,
falls into that category.
It does. It's a special need.
Yeah.
So, do we have any kind of stats on worldwide? What
you know? What effects? This doesn't say anything
doesn't
about
say
that.
Anything like that.
It said it really doesn't have anything about the this. In this press release, no.
Okay.
It's really just about more about like Autism Speaks. Now, you know, there's other information about what they are and what they do.
Okay. Empowering but we will people. Have them on the show, I'm sure, in the future.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I'm going to actually see if I can contact Julie, who got me this press release, to see if she would want to give, because that would be something I'd like to do.
Yeah.
Talk about some of the statistics. But I should mention that if you want information about this, and you want to not just joining the walk, but it'd be great if you want to join the walk. If you go to autismspeaks.org, you can learn more. You can even donate there. You can join the walk on that as well. But I think really just kind of get the information. I always say that information is everything. We always talk about that. Being informed is probably the most important thing. That's really what this show has been about. Right? Like
it's all about that being aware. Yeah, and we try and make our listeners aware as much as possible.
Because we're not experts. You're an expert in your profession. You like I know.
Yeah, say speak for yourself.
You're in the top 1% of what you do. And that's
I would think so. I would hope so anyway.
I believe so. Yeah. And that's really says a lot, because for me to say that means it must be true. But you are an expert in what you do. Yeah. I believe I am knowledgeable in what I do, right?
I believe you are. That's why I'm here.
But when it comes to what we do on the show, is really we're just sort of bringing information to people
and trying
to bring other people who know are experts at their field and their particular.
Yeah, we know where to draw the line now.
Exactly. Yes. So we're not trying. We're not pretending that we're experts on autism or any of these things we talk about. In some cases, we know a lot, and we know a little more than most.
But rare.
But very rarely.
Yeah, that's right.
But we also are very realistic about the fact that the most important thing is empowering people with information. Because if there's one thing that we do on this show, it's provide facts. We may have an opinion once in a while. Like I may ask you your opinion on something. You might ask me my opinion. I might say how I feel about something. But this is not, you know, the American news
media
has become opinionated, right? There's no real fact-driven business anymore.
It's not unbiased at all.
It is. The bias is crazy, depending on which network you're watching. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they talk about a situation and immediately there's somebody there to tell you what they think instead of just reporting the facts.
Yeah, they always have an opinion.
So our show is never really meant to be taken as a bias in any way. But we're also talking about issues, not so much politics.
We try and stay away from politics.
Why wouldn't we? It's just a mess.
It is.
But when it comes to these types of issues, and we've done it with homelessness, we've done it with diabetes, we've done it with water conservation, we've done it with special needs, we've done it with
human trafficking,
domestic violence. Yeah. I mean, there's hundreds of things.
There's so much more that we haven't touched on.
Yeah, right.
We talk about that all the time.
We're only one show that's on half hour a week, and our part is to try and find what topic. And this is a topic that conceivably could have a half hour every week to just talk about advances and such.
Of course it could.
And I will say this special needs, I guess being in the same kind of grouping, is probably one of the most topical because you're hearing more and more about it. I think the idea that one in 59 children are on the spectrum, which is, you know, basically every classroom is about 40 kids, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So almost one kid in every classroom, if you look at it that way. Unbelievable thought.
So it actually affects a huge population of people out there. So we're all affected by it.
Only 10 years ago, it was like one in 200.
Yeah.
So think about how quickly
it's
growing.
But even that's a lot when you think about it. Yeah. It's still a huge amount.
It's a scary thought to think that, you know, when you have a child, it's, you know, there's a like a 2% chance or whatever the number is that it's going to be, you know, they're going to be on the spectrum. But like I said, it's so different now. There's so many ways to manage it and help that it's not a life sentence. It's not a burden the way it used to be when there's just no hope. You didn't even know what to do. You just kind of like, you know, you managed it the best you could and you hope they could have a somewhat normal life, and then it changed the life of that parent forever. Yeah. Now there is a lot of hope that they can have a normal life, functioning as a normal adult and going on and having a job and being able to work with others. And there was a time when that was impossible if you were nonverbal.
Yeah, that's there's such a stigma attached to it. So, and that's why it's just really, really good that we can talk about something like this. But it's just about anybody with a special need, but today it's about autism. But it affects a huge amount of people.
The world of bullying, you would think it would get harder in this age, because I actually have an Instagram account, and on my Instagram account, somebody followed me not long ago, and I didn't know the person. So whenever I get followed, I get notified, and I looked at their page to see if I knew it was, and it was just some random person said on their page, I am on the autism spectrum. Please do not bully me. I will unfollow you and report you. And I thought it was very interesting that they were very forward and blunt about being on the spectrum. And I thought it was actually quite awesome that they were just out there like any other person, and that they straight up said, like, if you try to bully me, I'm going to report you. I think the fact that there are people out there that might do that and might take advantage of somebody like that, that's a scary thought. But there are a lot of really bad people out there.
Yeah, absolutely. People will do that.
Just because they know they have an advantage socially?
Whatever. They're just mean-spirited. You know, they just have to do that. They have to bully, period.
Can you imagine?
No, I can't imagine.
Sick really. Thought.
Yeah, yep.
But that's what I mean, though. This is, you know, I'm sure 10 years ago, that person might not have the outlet to even do something like that. You know, it's all relative. You know, maybe was an Instagram 10 years ago or whatever it was, but I think in a relative way, I don't think they would have been as comfortable saying that or even knowing that they have it. But now there's an acceptance, there's an understanding that, you know, you're really no different than anybody else simply because you have this disorder and you're on a spectrum.
When you were in school, I mean, I remember it really well, but especially when I was in elementary school, kids can be very mean.
Oh, yeah.
And I always, I don't know if you were, but I think you're the same kind of person. I was always attracted to the people that were like outcasts.
Yeah, and I always felt I had to protect that.
Yeah, so I always befriended people like that. Oh, and I still do.
The only time I got into fights in my grammar school, middle school days is because I was usually defending somebody who was in that position.
There you go. So I was always, you know, watching out for people like that.
Yeah.
And I'm still that way.
Me too.
But I just can't, I can't fathom people taking advantage of people like that.
You know,
just
nor can I.
Sad.
I can't either. And I think it's really a sad thing, a sad state of affairs that there are people out there that would try and bully. And I got to say, I stopped using Facebook. I haven't logged on to it in about almost a month, maybe even more than a month.
I just got rid of the app today.
Yeah, the idea for me is going to be that I'm going to deactivate the account, which is like basically put it on hold and not delete it. Because I know that it's important to have it for, I have a lot of family and friends that I otherwise have no way of keeping in touch with because I've lost, you know, contact with, and that's the only way I'll know. And but I've decided I'm not going to use it, and I haven't used it in so long. It's out of my routine completely. And I never really liked it all that much.
But think about it this way, though. I mean, you might not have Facebook, but everybody else, you know, does. Just call and find out what's going on.
Yeah.
It's what I do.
Yeah, but there's certain people like I've lost track with. I don't have their phone numbers anymore. You know, so like, yeah, and if they have children or whatever, that's the only way I'm going to see the pictures. But what I was thinking was I'm going to deactivate the account because I was seeing so many negative things happening. Just people talking so poorly to others and treating others with such disrespect and what they call trolling online.
There's a lot of that.
It's all over the place. It's like somebody puts up something and it's usually an opinion, and then there's somebody who has the complete opposite perspective opinion, or opinion, and they attack them.
Just rag on you.
And it turns into this mess of 75 comments of people just yelling at each other and saying terribly awful things.
It's true.
To me, that's not life. Because you wouldn't do that in person.
Yep.
You wouldn't ever say some of these things to somebody if you were sitting in their presence, because you just wouldn't. You're hiding behind a computer screen.
Mm-hmm.
That really was the end of the end for me when I started seeing, and a lot of it had to do with politics. Then I started seeing people saying things about, you know, people's weight or ugly, or, you know, it's like, what? Who are you to judge anybody?
Yeah,
you know
I know. Mean? I just you know what? I mean, I'm done with it.
But yeah, me too. I'm glad you deleted the app.
I did.
Good for you, man.
It's taking up too many megabytes or gigabytes or whatever.
Yeah, and your phone, you know, dumped it. It's not a new one.
No.
So it doesn't have a lot of room.
We don't have to get personal here.
I'm trolling
you. I gotta get a new phone. There's no question about it. I do.
It works. I mean, listen, you have an older iPhone.
But I'm due for an upgrade. I am. So
I think you've been due for an upgrade for a solid 8 years, and you just haven't done. Go to the Apple store. It's right down the street from your house.
You're right.
Right, man, on in Los
Gatos. North Santa Cruz.
Yeah, there's one. What's that? Yeah, exactly. North and Santa, that's a great, by the way, one of the best Apple stores.
What makes one different from the other?
Because that one is, first of all, it's big, and they are fast. I go there if I need to get something done, because they're the ones that always have people waiting to help. It's unbelievable. Well, they're great to begin with.
You're right about that. They walk right up to the door.
I've never, ever get faster service than I do in the Los Gatos Apple store.
Mm.
I mean, we're digressing far, but I wanted to tell you that.
That's because
you would get it for free, the upgrade, just so you know. 100%.
Oh, no, I know it. I know that. It's just, you know, something else I got to do.
Yeah,
I don't have anything to do.
Well, we're almost out of time. We have about 3.5 minutes left. I want to make sure you get to the store, the Apple store today. What would you like to talk about before we get out of here? I always like to get a bit of your wisdom, because you're a fairly intelligent man and you have a lot to offer.
Oh, you think so? Oh, thank you. You're one of the few.
I know. Yeah.
I don't know. You caught me at a rare moment when I'm almost speechless. Actually,
I see, this is the problem. I mean, just tell our listeners this, you know, when there are days when we
that's
talk
scary,
and you'll say
it?
To
it's
me,
scary.
You know, you barely let me talk today. And I'll say, well, you know, you just weren't jumping in that
you
much.
You don't give me a chance when I have something to say, when I have nothing to say, you put me on
chance.
The spot.
I
very embarrassing.
I leave it open to you.
Very embarrassing.
But when I say, at the end of every show, I always say, Larry, is there anything you want to share before we leave? And you always have something.
Yeah, here you go.
Okay.
Carry cash with you.
Wow. Why is that?
Because I'm finding out more and more.
That's
true.
Funny,
and I'm not
man.
One to carry cash.
Mm. I totally agree with you.
To help people out.
Oh, okay.
I'm running into more and more people that need help. I'm serious.
Are you laughing at me? This guy's the best, folks. I don't know if you could tell, but he is the best there is.
I'm glad you think so.
I do.
Yeah.
All joking aside, you are the best. Go ahead.
But that's it. That's it. Because I'm really finding, especially now in the wintertime, people are really needing to have some help there. And financially, it's always good to help them out. Even if you just go and buy them some food.
The past month, I've been carrying cash for some reason. I was like, I'm going to have cash on me.
Is
I don't
it because
know why.
I brought it up before?
It might be. It might be subconsciously.
I'm not one to do that.
But I'm doing it now. The other
day, I forgot to get it when I was at the ATM.
The other day, I was walking out of Trader Joe's, I believe it was, or Whole Foods, one of those.
Yeah.
Which I never go to Whole Foods, but I was there for some reason. And there was a woman sitting there with a child, very young, like maybe a 1 year old, one or two year old
child.
Could
be the same woman I've seen it.
And it wrapped in a blanket, very, very sad looking. And I walked past her and on my way out. And she kind of just looked at me and said, sir. And I kept walking. I got about 40 steps past her and I stopped dead in my tracks. And I was like, I have cash in my pocket. I reached into my pocket.
Yeah, I saw you had a wad there earlier today.
Did you?
Yeah, so I was going to ask you for some of that.
So I stopped, and what I thought was a single in my pocket. I was like, I thought I only had a single or something.
Yeah.
So I reached in, didn't look,
yeah.
And I pulled out what I thought was a single, and it ended up being a 20.
Ooh, well, that's
and,
okay.
And right, right. So when I went to hand it, I almost, you know, you get nervous. Like, I didn't mean to give her a 20.
Yeah.
But then I did, I saw it and then I saw her eyes light up and I was like, I can't not give it to her now. I gave her the 20 and I saw such gratitude. Like you couldn't believe. Like,
where was
like,
this? Where, which Trader Joe's?
Whole Foods by the SAP Center on Santa Clara in San Jose. I couldn't believe her eyes. It was almost like she went from being, you know, this super sad face to this super glowing face. And she didn't even say thank you. She just looked at it like with this just
I just kept walking.
And I wasn't waiting for a thank you, really. I was just so I felt good to do it. It took me 40 steps to realize I just walked by a woman with a 1 or 2 year old kid on a cold morning and I had money in my pocket.
Well, that's it. I mean, it's
so you're right.
You know, I mean, it's a simple thing, but it's something that I really do. So now I'm starting to do that. But
thank you for that.
Because look what happened with you too.
Carrie Cash. Thank you, Larry, for your help today. Thanks for being here with me.
It's always a pleasure.
It really is. Next week, we will be back. We'll have a guest, and we hope you'll join us for another edition of People Helping People on Bali 92.3 FM.